The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello, here I am. Welcome to the Nikki Glaser Podcast. I'm here with Andrew Collin, Carlisle Forrester. It's Wednesday. Andrew's spinning the ball like a globetrotter.
That's what they call
me. Oh, you love sports. You got a tennis racket there. You got a basketball, a little new putter behind you.
Oh, new putter, Scotty Cameron.
It's going to change everything.
Not at all, actually.
Is that your real license plate?
Huh?
Is that your real
license plate? No, he bought it offline.
I bought it offline. Okay. Black market.
Wait a second. This putter, can I guess the price?
No, don't.
$376.
I don't want to talk about it.
Honestly.
I can't.
Just come on.
No, because...
Wait, what kind of putter is it?
If I ever ask for a raise, you'll say, oh, I paid you plenty because you got that putter.
What's the brand? What's the special about it?
It's a Scotty Cameron. You know the casino we did? They actually gave me one, but it wasn't like this. This is a mallet putter, which is a straight back, straight forward putter. Mm-hmm. It's legend. It's top of the line. It's new, kind of like a futuristic feel with a traditional touch.
Right. And it was about 4:30.
Exactly.
Oh my god! For a $430.
No, this is the thing. All right.
It's gonna change everything.
My bag is complete now.
Those little lighthouses don't stand a chance with those little twirling. what are they called? Yeah, that alligator that clomps down his mouth up and down, and he has the little hole in his mouth, and you try to get it in.
If you could putt
those windmills,
if you could putt fighting an alligator, you know how easy it is on the course. That's
those little mounds that are on the sides that kind of make it so it goes like boop 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 when you do it. All those men that are on those like first dates.
Oh man,
they're gonna fucking get hard, and they're gonna pre-ejaculate just looking at your putter before their date ends. Trying to think of other things that happen on a putt-putt course. Those families on vacation in Branson,
or the one cool kid that hits it like a driver and it goes into the water.
Oh my god, that guy is so cool. Sexually frustrated.
Oh yeah.
He's the one that like doesn't have a girl with him and he's like pissed off, you know, like the kid in your group of
that
friends
was me
that causes
mayhem.
Yeah. And like has you know, punches things and is just jumping off things. Is it like the jackass of the group? That's always the guy that's like not getting laid.
Yeah, it's the fifth wheel. It's the guy that's like, fine, I'll come to dinner, but I'm gonna put some straws in my nostrils.
Yes. And everyone goes like, I love you, he's the best, he's like my little brother.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
Oh, my
You're
God.
You're cute. He's really cute. That's what girls would describe me when I was so small. I mean, oh, Andrew, you're so cute. And I'm like, fuck you, man. I'm a Rottweiler.
You know who I have the biggest crush on that I, like, can't handle it?
Houdini?
no, who is so cute. And I'm wondering, like, would I think...
Wait, give us guesses. Let's guess.
I want to go for this type of guy. Like, I mean, I have a boyfriend right now, but, like... Oh. And he, well, he's it's not official. It's not official.
Sparkles, your lover.
No,
your
he's
companion,
not my boyfriend yet. He hasn't asked me to be his girlfriend. So
come
on.
Whoa, then you're just throwing it out there.
I mean, I always do this, and that's how we end up together. I mean, it's Carlisle this morning was
I'm
like
the one
Nikki,
that's in it. Yeah,
he's your boyfriend.
It's like
that is your boyfriend.
Stop with this.
Yes,
he definitely is.
Yeah, he is for sure. I mean, but he hasn't said it yet, and so I think that. And he knows he knows that he has to be the one to ask me this time. So I guess I shouldn't be saying it already.
Maybe you should go to putt-putt where it becomes official.
Oh, my God. That's where a boy asks you to go out.
On the fifth hole. He's like, let me help you with your stroke. And also, will you be my lover forever?
Yeah, and then you don't talk the rest of the day.
Yeah.
You just hang out with your girlfriend.
Because he realizes you're unathletic and that your breeding would
but
be terrible.
But you never really, like, ask. I mean, did you full out ask?
I got on a knee. Yeah, I got on my knee.
No, you
I gave her
a NuvaRing.
I pretended to get on a knee on the beach in Florida, and that's not a fun joke, apparently.
Oh, no.
No, it's so annoying.
You really did that? And it was Christmas, Andrew.
I'm Jewish.
Oh.
That was...
What did she do?
Huh?
You really
she
got down
on
knee?
She said yes to never talking to me that day.
How did you do it? I don't understand. Like, it was just like a joke in
like,
the moment.
I didn't get fully on my knee. I was just like... Brenna, turn around. And like, I was pretending to get him.
Oh my God.
Were you alone?
No, my whole family was.
Oh my God.
No, they weren't. No, I just thought that was funny. Like, they're filming.
Chris and I always used to do photos where we would be like at a wedding where they have like a photo, you know, like you a photo booth kind of thing.
Oh yeah.
And we would do a series where we would be like taking pictures. And then the next one would be him being like getting down on one knee and me being like, oh my God. And then he comes up and he finds a nickel and he's like, yes. And I'm just like, and it's just like me sad at a wedding.
I mean, that would be good. So fun. That's actually a really good, I know, that but a good really way of getting, like, if you don't want to, like, if you have no friends that can take the photo, go to a photo booth if you're going to get engaged. You know what I mean? Because you always want it. Like,
oh, yeah.
That's, you know, we've talked about that before. What were you saying, though, about your boyfriend before we got
Oh, the guy that I'm like, I think he's that you have so a crush adorable. On. It's a character on a show.
Well, you're famous for liking the guy from Veep.
Yeah, and this is the opposite of the guy from Veep.
Wait, watching Ricky Gervais.
No, not Ricky Gervais. We're watching Afterlife. Have you ever seen Afterlife?
I've seen the first two seasons.
It's so good.
I love it so much.
So good. Very dark.
We're watching I think we're on the second season now, but we've watched it all in like
where he kills his wife?
Yeah. The second season? Is that where he has a flashback?
Yeah.
He gives his wife too much heroin.
Oh, you like his friend that lives in the garage?
No. No.
What Wait, character? The boss.
The dog?
Yes. Yeah, oh,
dog.
My God.
He's so cute.
I don't know. I can't. I got to pinch. I'll look him
he's
up.
Like a, he's just like, he's just struggling to be a good husband. And like, he's so sincere and he's sweet. He's his brother-in-law.
Okay, let me see.
You know, like, and he's the boss.
Let me look him up. How old is he?
I have no idea. I mean, I haven't looked. This isn't like a crush enough for me to like Google him, but I am like, oh my God, like he's my first like celebrity crush or like not even like character crush and for so long because his character is just so sweet and sincere.
I mean,
doesn't seem
do you
like
know
he'd
his
be
name?
Good at sex
his
at
name
all,
is
though.
Tom Basten.
He's very timid.
B-A-S-T-E-N.
Oh, Tom Basten. He kind of looks like an ugly Gosling.
No, I don't. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Like Gosling if
he's
cute.
Yeah,
he's
so hot. Yeah. I knew he could get it together. I knew that guy could get it together.
He looks
like
Gosling's brother who became a professor.
He's just adorable. I think it's that just role he's in. And yeah, the role isn't a guy that's like a sexual dynamo, but like he also seems like someone who would be like who you could like teach.
Right.
And I think that my quasi-boyfriend exudes a lot of the same qualities as him as being like a good person and like trying to help people and like he's just like means well and like I think I don't know
but
I
he's
just,
way cuter than that guy.
Oh, I know. I mean it's not even the guy's looks so much as the guy's like personality.
He's not ugly. I mean, look at him here. I mean,
he's
that's
just
a
adorable
good looking,
in it. He's like a good dad and he like he stands up for what's right and he's just I think I just have a slight crush on that character. I used to be obsessed with Jim from The Office when I was like,
yes,
you and 90 million women.
Oh my God. It's the same kind of
he's
thing.
He's the Taylor Swift of crushes. Like,
yeah, you're right.
I mean, when will he get with... It's always the struggling guy that girls are like, oh, he would be the best boyfriend because he's trying so hard.
Yes.
But then like 3 months in, he's like not cleaning up, you know, his own dishes. And he's like, I never loved him. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, we put so much on the guy that's struggling.
Well, these are characters.
I know.
You know, and I think that's...
Oh, are you talking about him in real life?
No, John Krasinski in real life, not a fan. I just think he's one of those guys that, like, thinks he's funny but isn't.
His SNL...
No offense.
...was, like, terrible. He got, like... He got really
actor.
Jacked. He's trying to do the guy from, Parks and Rec.
I want his character. Oh, that stupid Christian. He's hilarious.
Christian
that guy's actually hilarious.
He is very funny.
But his Jesus stuff is really irritating.
It's a lot.
And he was really nice. I met him once and hung out with him for like a whole afternoon. And he
can't
was awesome.
We can't remember his name.
It's Galaxy Guardians. I mean, he's friends with the raccoon. And he's the really jack guy. Everyone knows who we're talking about. What's
Chris
his name
Pratt?
From Parks and Rec?
Huh?
Chris Pratt?
Yes,
yeah, Chris Pratt.
Pratt.
So John's trying to do Chris Pratt.
What? My friend went to high school with him.
Oh, yeah.
And she said even then she knew he was going to be like a huge star.
Yeah.
People always
say
that.
Your friend predicted it. Your friend knew. It's responsible.
It's funny. They either know that they're going to be a big star or they never knew he'd be a killer.
There's no one that's just like, I mean, you can do it if you want.
Yeah. I never really. I saw nothing but everything at the same time.
But I feel bad talking shit about, but it's the characters I fall in love with because
Made you have a crush on him though?
Who? Oh, and I loved Chris Pratt's character in Parks and Rec. Oh my God, I was obsessed with him and Aubrey Plaza getting together, and then I lost interest in that show. As soon as the couples get together, I'm out. Ross and Rachel, I'm out.
It's your favorite.
Pam and what's his name?
It's the buildup.
Jim, I'm out.
You're queen of buildup.
And I'm not interested after when the crush is revealed, hottest thing ever. Afterwards, don't care. Like they're together. What's to watch here? What's to tune in for? Must see TV. Yeah, I don't really want to see
them go to couples therapy. Like that's not fun.
Yeah. No. Even that conversations of a marriage. What was that? Scenes
of a marriage. Yeah.
That one.
Oh gosh, that was draining.
Will they? Won't they? That was just like won't they? Won't they? Won't they?
Oh God, that show.
I got to get back to it though because I do want to inject a little bit more realism into my TV watching in terms of like relationships.
Mm.
To stop.
Meaning,
because I just think that I'm rom-com. Like my life is a rom-com, and as soon as it gets stable, I try to destabilize it so that I'm pining and that I'm chasing someone or someone's chasing me, or like it's will we, won't we, or it's like secretive, or I just love love a crush.
You love a montage of the guy running through the streets to come find you, and then once he gets there, you're like, oh, it's never really into it.
No. We embrace and we're in the rain.
Yeah.
And then I'm just like,
I'm the same way. I mean, I think partly because like I didn't see it in my parents, so like where did I see it is on TV. Yeah. You know, that's where... So, especially our generation, there was just so many movies where the guy was just like, will they or won't they? And he's going to do everything he can to get to her. And then once they're together, they finally found
happiness. Character crushes, though? Like, did you either of you have crushes on characters? And then you look up the actor and you're like, yeah, no thanks.
You hung out with my very first character crush in Hawaii. Woody Harrelson, baby.
Oh, man.
Remember that's a good movie, Indecent Proposal?
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Where he lets his wife bang Robert Redford.
Wait, listen, that's kind of the same guy that I have a crush on in this afterlife. Kind of like the cuck.
Yeah. Like, he's just so in love with her. And I was a kid, right? So I didn't even understand the whole one night thing in Indecent Proposal.
Like what that meant.
I was just like, it's one night. What's the big deal?
They're just going to play Scrabble and talk and go to dinner and fight like my parents.
On this boat.
Yeah.
They're going to
hang out on
the dock. He
just wants to slow dance with her.
Yeah. Like, what's the big deal? I really did not get that they were having sex.
Oh, boy.
Well, it wasn't
just,
it's not just one night when you get picked up in a helicopter and a guy in a tuxedo with $1 billion. Like, it is just one night, but that's like... Yeah, you can't compete with that.
Don't ruin it for me. I forget how that movie ends. And I'm guessing she goes to Woody because
he kills her.
Woody is
Ricky Gervais kills her.
That's a good character crush.
It is so good.
Oh, he was so he's like, I don't know, for some reason guys can think he's hot too because it's still manly to think he's hot.
Mm.
Like there's certain guys where like guys are like, yeah, he's fucking hot because you want to be him.
Yes.
Remember when they finally got
the
money?
That's the way I feel about women too.
They finally win the money in Vegas.
I'm going to watch it.
It's from 91. Well, I don't care.
I haven't seen it in a while. I wasn't allowed to watch it when I was a little kid because my parents had good boundaries.
We had it on a VHS tape written in like my 8-year-old handwriting in Decent Proposal.
Oh, let's be honest, you still have 8-year-old handwriting.
I gotta do.
I do too. I write like I'm like 7 and dyslexic.
Did you have a character crush? Dawson?
I mean, just Pacey. I was more Pacey boy.
Yeah. Oh, I loved Pacey.
Until I met him in real life.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah, and then things change. No, I mean, boring shit. Kelly Kapowski, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
I was obsessed with
Zach Morris. Oh, my God.
I remember
you guys had her on You Up.
Yeah, we did.
So you met your crush.
I never met her. I wasn't there that day.
Oh, man.
But I do remember, I'm trying to think who else. Like,
I've met a lot of my crushes, actually. Zach Morris holds up. What a nice guy.
But he's not nearly as hot as he was, right?
I mean, he's hot still.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's still just that, like, it's the friendliness and, like, I like his voice. Everything just melded together for me. And so when it came back around, I mean, he's older, but he's not None of these people are their character. They're all actors, and actors are not
Heather
that.
Locklear.
What about?
Oh.
Heather Locklear was like, and then you found out she was like fucking like the drummer from, or like Tommy Lee, and you're like, who is she? Was she ever really that nice girl? Like,
was she nice on Melrose Place?
Well, no, she was just hot and like, not innocent, but just you put that on her because she's so perfect looking.
Yeah.
So then you're like, how could she fuck this drummer?
Were you ever like a Pam Anderson guy?
Of course. I mean, it's so funny. Tommy Lee fucked all these women.
Wait, Noah, did you have any character crushes?
I used to watch a lot of like family sitcoms, like Step by Step, or
I
loved Step by Step.
Topanga,
same.
Topanga, yeah. So like the Step by Step, the older brother, he was like a jock.
Oh yeah, he was like a dummy.
Yeah, like
that,
a
like,
doofy.
Lived in the in their yard. Yeah.
There was always a guy that lived like in the yard in these shows.
It was Cody.
You liked Cody.
It's so funny.
Wasn't there a character named Boner
Steve.
Or something?
Yeah, Boner was he passed away. But, yeah, his name was Schneider. Fuck, what is his last name? I forget his name. God damn it. I feel bad. I used to like know him. He was a producer on Never Not Funny.
Oh.
He's Jimmy Pardo's brother-in-law.
Gotcha.
He is great. Oh my God, I used to love him on that show. I'm sorry, I forget his name. It's just eluding me right now.
It's Boner.
No,
what about the 90210 guys?
AK-47 is what he called him. Andrew Koenig. Sorry, isn't his name. What was it? 90210? I was too young for...
I've met all of those guys.
Really?
Luke Perry.
When you used to work at Hyde or whatever?
No, random places. Luke Perry, I met R.I.P. before...
He died? Oh yeah, he died.
Yeah, he passed away. And he was actually... in Manhattan Beach, like
Noah just found.
I'm so sorry.
Sorry for the spoiler, Noah.
Yeah, don't ruin Indecent Proposal.
Mean Dylan McKay.
But Harry is dead. Did he die at the end of Indecent Proposal? Is this how we find out?
From natural causes. Mm.
If you remember, for any of the 90210 fans,
Tommy Lee.
During the college years, Kelly and Donna lived in this house on the beach,
mm-hmm.
and they said it was Malibu, but it was really in Manhattan Beach or like Hermosa Beach, one of those. And I was down there on the 4th of July, and Luke Perry was like hanging out, out the side of this house. Like, he was just like waiting to be recognized.
Yeah.
Like, me and my friend asked him, we were like, oh my God, can we take a picture with you? And he was like, yeah. Like, he had just been standing out there doing it all day. Oh, fuck yeah.
Oh, can you bring that photo up?
And then what about my phone? This is a printed photo. So Jason Priestley, I met at the gas station that was on Fairfax and Sunset. If you know it, you love it. A lot of celebrities.
I don't think you love it.
No, I've seen many celebrities at this gas station. But another.
It's true. The celebrities do, based on Us Weekly, I do know that they pump gas just like us.
Whoa.
Yeah. There's no like celebrity gas station. They gotta go.
The first $7.
They get.
And then the rest of it, what do?
They just look at it. And it fills up.
They get Omicron from the pump just like us.
So what did you do with Priestley? Did you go up to him?
So Priestley tried to do like a bit because, again, I had a friend in town and I was like, oh my God, can we take a picture of you? And he was like, yeah. Or I was like, can you take a picture? That's what I said. And he said, yeah, you two get together. And he like took the camera.
Oh, that is cute.
And I was like, no, we want you in it. And this was back in the days of like disposable. A disposable camera. Yeah. And we went to take it, and it was out of film.
And it just goes,
and it was just cranking
forever.
And he goes, nice try. And then, like, handed it to me and said, nice try. Like, I knew. And I really thought there was one left.
Oh, he thought you were getting punked? You punked him?
Yeah.
I don't know. I would say I was more of a Dylan. I mean, I thought he was hotter than Jason Priestley. Jason
I never
Priestley
watched
was.
It.
Like,
okay,
you
and then
never watched 90210.
I was too young.
I feel like though
I was just
out
on the cusp.
Yeah.
One more just to round this out. I met Ian Ziering too.
Oh my God.
I saw Ian Ziering one time at Action Park.
And by the way, I think it's Ian.
It's Ian.
Yeah. But anyway, he came to a Supernova Comedy where I work and saw a show. And
wow. Did you get a picture?
No.
Was you out of film?
Your phone was battery dead?
No, I was like working and I was busy, but he came with my friend and she was like,
who
hey,
is visiting
do
in town?
Do you know? No, she's local.
From Fairfax.
And she was like, do you know Ian?
You know, you love it.
Do you know Ian? And I was like, yeah. Like, hi. I've known you for my whole life.
Ian Legend.
Yeah.
I think it's Ian Legend.
Oh, yeah, that's correct. We got to go to break. We have more celebrity sightings coming up right after this. Andrew!
Coming!
Welcome back to the show. We're talking about seeing celebrities. Wait a second. I just want to say that I thought of Sharknado when she talked about Ian Zirin.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just read this thing about Tara Reid.
Oh my God, I have a good Tara Reid story.
Really?
Well, not that good, but just saw her in Eos in Croatia. Anyways, go ahead.
What
go
is
ahead.
It? What did you? What was she doing?
Not Eos, Hvar in Croatia. This was in the prime. Remember when she had like about 4 months where everyone was like completely shitting on her because she was too much of a party animal?
14 years?
Yeah. Oh, was it that life. Long?
Yeah, her, that's like, the article I read. Coming out? Yeah. No, it came out one time and everyone was like so mean and she got a botched liposuction.
Yeah.
So she had all these weird rivets on her stomach and she just had bad plastic surgery and people attacked her for it. Merciless. Like she never did anything wrong. She was like, I always showed up on time for things. I never was like a party animal who got too drunk and like got a DUI. I never got arrested. I never passed out anywhere. And yet she was the face of all of this like bad behavior from girls.
I think
because her tit fell out on the red carpet time.
Because her role in American Pie, she was the good girl who was losing her virginity. And then it's like it's almost like the Donald Trump thing of like if you're always an asshole, no one cares. But if you go from this character of being perfect to this
to fucking
it's
Tommy
like
Lee.
Lindsay Lohan, like, oh, we thought you were this.
But Lindsay Lohan was like addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
And, like,
yeah.
Remember when she dated Samantha Ronson?
Tara Reid was really fucked up a lot. I think. I mean,
no, she partied, but the thing is, she got that show on E that was like,
that's where I saw her. Paradise. She was filming that.
And she said that did not help because I was over there and they were making me into this party girl and I'm not. Like I partied like the most people did in that time. Like not more, not less.
Yeah.
And she was just like I saw her at Union Station in St. Louis. They were doing the search for the VJ. Remember MTV?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
It was the second year. It was when Dave Holmes was in the running.
He lost to
Jesse Camp.
Jesse Camp,
man. Yeah. He lost to Jesse Camp, who is probably camping under a bridge right now.
That would be a good Halloween costume for you.
Jesse Camp would be a great Halloween costume. Yeah, you gotta do it. Such a throwback. Dude, that was such a fun time in MTV's
it was.
Like, where a normal person could be
plucked. Before ridiculousness?
Yeah, before ridiculousness all the time. But it used to be so cool. They would, if you're a young person, they would search for a VJ, which was like the coveted spot on MTV, which was like you were one of like the hosts of MTV. And there were like five of them at a time. And they would look for a regular person that plucked out of obscurity, no professional, someone that had never been on TV. And you'd apply and they'd send in tapes. It was kind of like the Real World. And they'd make you a VJ, and it was like the hunt for. And they would do this competition. It was so freaking fun.
Yeah.
And Dave Holmes, who you probably know from everything, he was the runner-up, and Jesse Camp won. But I went to the where they were doing the search in St. Louis because my dad worked in cable, and so he got us like into this show. And I saw Carson Daly there, and he was dating Tara Reid at the time, and they were making out.
I remember
heavily.
That.
Off stage, like in front of everyone.
Wait, and why didn't you try to be the DJ from
Fitness? I was in high school.
Still, you could have been plucked from obscurity.
No, I was not like, I was not someone, I didn't know anything about music. And it was, to me, that was like Kurt Loder should be. To me, that was like for an older person.
There was that other guy on MTV where like, MTV was like the young channel. Like that was like the hip. And
TRL.
Then these older VJ guys. I remember one who was like losing his hair and he kept combing every year, he had to comb his hair more forward.
I forget
his name.
There's a bald one for sure. That was just like,
oh,
Matt,
that guy. That guy
Pinfield.
Was the rock and roll. What was his name?
I don't know if it's the guy that Andrew's talking about, but the bald one is Matt Pinfield.
Pinfield.
It wasn't him, but
to look like a bowling pin and have your name be Matt Pinfield,
it was a stage name. I just watched the best documentary.
Is he a serious DJ, by the way? Does he work at Sirius? All those guys ended up.
He's a rock and roll guy.
Yeah, he does like a. I think he works for like a Los Angeles radio station or something.
Yeah, they're all still like working.
Have y'all seen the documentary on HBO Max about Woodstock 99?
No.
And it's talking about how it was the clash of like. Whenever MTV became for the young people, like all of a sudden it was Britney Spears and Backstreet Boys, but at the exact same time you had like Korn and Limp Bizkit, and it was kind of like a battle for who was going to take over MTV.
Oh.
And that's why Woodstock, like at some point, the MTV VJs just had to be like bust out because people were throwing trash at them.
Oh, yeah.
And being like, fuck MTV. You. Like they had this hilarious shot of Carson Daly trying to cover Woodstock, and he was just like, okay, we're here at Woodstock.
And it's like a war zone. Down,
and like all the Korn fans were throwing like lit Korn. Trash at him.
Oh, my God.
And then they ended up just burning it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, Noah.
It was like original Fire Fest.
Noah burnt that shit.
Yeah,
out.
Noah started it.
Did you go, Noah?
No, I think I was too young for that.
The other night we were trying to look for a documentary to watch.
Yeah.
And Carla and I have different tastes in TV for sure. We ended up watching Afterlife and we both love it. But we started out, I was trying to watch Icarus. Have you seen that?
Yeah, we were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah, okay. I still don't know what that is.
Did you watch Yellow Jackets?
No, it's too suspenseful. I don't need to be suspended.
I watched two episodes last night. It's a lot.
It's a lot, right?
Whew.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot.
Is it funny?
There's some comical parts to it because it's so a lot. If that makes sense.
Are there yellow? Do they wear?
That's like, their soccer team.
I know, but like, are there like sportswear? Is it like black and yellow? Black and yellow.
I think it might be blue and yellow for some reason.
Really? Is it like, is that a part of it though? Like they all wear their like jackets?
No, they just start out as a soccer team.
Okay.
And then, you know, the plane crashes. Yeah. You know that.
So why yellow jackets?
That's the name of their team.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And that's what they have to eat. They have to eat bees to stay alive.
Yeah. One at a
no,
time.
But I,
bit by bees.
It reminded me of,
bees bit by humans.
That's the spinoff, man. The drummer quit Bit by Bees, and he went into a side project.
I read about that.
Yeah.
I know. And he died at Woodstock 99, though.
Oh, my God.
From a piece of burning.
Flaming trash.
I heard
hit
he
him
choked
in the
on Carson Daly's sideburns. Remember sideburns were so big on that? Priestley
yeah. Frosted tips.
Loved it.
Oh, tips were big?
Yeah.
I did.
He put out the fires with his frosted tips.
That's how frosted tips were invented.
Stupid. Wait, okay. I just have to say, there was this plane crash. Kind of when we were traveling, me and Emil, I was showing you guys, because Emil's interested in morbidity as well. Like, yeah. He's a 9/11 head, but he likes to look at, like, the sadness of it and, like, how insane it was. And, like, whenever I see, like, some footage of, like, there's a woman in the, they just discovered this really scary thing, or, like, someone on the phone, like, crying, I always send it to him to be like, isn't this fucked up? So when we were traveling, there was this plane crash of this famous, I think, Brazilian singer, pop star.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And they showed her plane wreckage.
Pitbull.
I forget her name. It's sad that I forget her name, but she's really, really, I mean, had millions and millions of followers. And she had put out this Instagram story right before she crashed of her walking on the plane and being like, oh, I'm on a diet and like I have to eat like this now. And she's like on the plane eating. And she has this black and white checkered jumpsuit, like whole thing that she's wearing. It's very, you know, a discernible fabric. And then they show the plane wreckage. And you can't see bodies, but you can see the checker jumpsuit.
Oh, my God.
Like, within the rubble. Like, you can just see parts of it.
Did you buy it on Poshmark?
Immediately. I go,
that's cute.
Yeah.
It's so old school. It has holes in it.
I wanted the original one. They were like, it's kind of bloodstained and has fragments of bone. And
I'll get it out.
Plain.
Bloodstain performed at Lollapalooza 99.
So bad.
You're a badass. Wait, so then, so you saw this.
So I said to myself, okay, I never want to be discernible in a plane wreck. Like, if I ever die, so on planes, I never want to wear something that is like so vividly bright.
Is that why you wear gray leather now? You look like a seat.
That's where I always wear, I'm trying to think of like, maroon canvas to look like a suitcase.
Why don't you want to be discernible then when you're
dead? Because I don't want people, because I look at this wreckage, like I look at car crash. I don't know why I'm morbid. I just like seeing the aftermath when it's like, oh my God, it's like a person kind of exploded. I know that's gross, and I don't really want to see them. I don't want to see it happen. I want to see the aftermath. I don't know why. It just...
Well, it's like the show Kamikaze, which I'm surprised...
So good.
I hated that, because I don't want to see... We don't want to talk about what that's about in any way.
Yeah.
even though the opening scene is literally what the thing I'm avoiding people, but people just got to watch that.
Yeah. It's so good. You have to see it.
So when we were boarding the plane, Emil was wearing the same kind of checkered, like houndstooth, black and white. Uh-huh. Like, remember that jacket he had?
Yeah.
And I was like, dude, you got to take that off because what if we crash? And so we put it in the above. And so now it's like a new ritual for me. If I'm wearing something discernible, I have to put it away from me. And then I convince myself the plane won't crash. And I never take a picture of myself flying private, like where I'm like posing in front of the plane, because that's always can be used against me to be like, she thought she was so cool and then she died.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't look good to brag about the thing that killed you.
For sure.
You know, when someone's like, oh, like they're doing shots and then they get into a car crash where they kill someone and you're like, well, that's a different thing.
But you could die in so many ways. It's like you should never take a photo again. You know, it's like, oh, it's always you died before doing this, you know? Like,
yeah, it's like that Mitch Hedberg joke where he's like, when people say, like, this is a picture of me when I was young, every picture, this is an old picture of me. Every picture of you is an old picture of you. I mean, Mitch Hedberg, it's so fun to just read his quotes. We got to get to the news, but if you want to have a fun little day, just read his jokes, pull up like a Mitch Hedberg quotes webpage. And just read. It's so fun. All right. What do you got, Andrew?
You heard it here first. You heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
You haven't heard it here second, I'll tell you that. This is the first time you're going to hear it. There's no way in hell you heard it anywhere else. Have all the swells out there. It is Wednesday, so you all know what that means. It is a Wednesday.
Wednesday.
Research.
Fart? Huh? Is that the chair?
It's the chair. Oh, okay. I got to move the chair up.
No, actually. Or it's a great excuse for no one will ever know.
Yeah, this chair smells. Research finds that watching 24.5 hours of TV a week or 3.5 hours a day can increase your risk of developing dementia. Team concluded that watching television itself may not be damaging to the brain. Instead, a high amount of hours spent in front of a TV creates long periods of sedentary behavior that passively distracts the brain and prevent people from engaging in other stimulating activities.
What about TikTok?
Yeah, our phone is going to fucking kill
all of us. And
what
if you're watching the TV? What if you're watching the TV on your phone?
Oh, that's a good point.
I don't even get close to 3.5 hours.
But on our phones, I feel like.
But I'm reading
the same
on my phone. I'm actually taking like I'm constantly reading on my phone if
what,
I'm
the
on my phone.
Captions of a dance?
No. I don't go on Instagram ever to just like scroll. And
I don't
at
scroll on Instagram.
I probably look at 6 things and then I just post. It's rare,
what you're supposed to do, post and get out of there.
Yeah.
That's the healthy way.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like 3.5 hours, especially during COVID, everyone's going to have dementia.
Yeah, I mean, Reddit is where I spend most of my time, and that is a little bit of doom scrolling of just like, it's endless and I can't get out of it sometimes where I'm like, oh, this is like TikTok, but it's always before bed, and so my sleep interrupts it. But where TikTok, when people are on it during the day, you can just keep going because you're still awake.
But I do feel like you could have a different kind of reading. Like, there's numb reading too, like watching a reality show versus watching like something that you're actually interested in, as opposed to reading Reddit, which is just like kind of like, wow,
but
a man fell in a well. Oh,
no,
wow. Oh,
yeah. Reddit, I get actual information, and it's like I feel like Reddit to me, and I don't know that it's like this way for everyone. Yes, there are dumb pictures and there's dumb memes and stuff, but I actually like it because it's informative and it, like reading. You know when they say you should read fiction because you get to like experience someone else's life and like inside someone's brain, and I think a lot of Reddit is people like commenting about their lives and like sharing like their experiences, and so I feel like I learn a lot.
But every baby boomer like woman that like watched soaps like during the day, they're all gonna have dementia then. Like plenty of people have watched that much television,
right?
That is from that generation.
So scared of dementia, but it's gonna get us all. Because we're living so much longer.
Not if you do puzzles.
Puzzles.
You guys say that's what helps.
That's what they say, but I feel like that's been disproven. That puzzles
helps.
Sudoku.
You heard that on the Tinder bar the other night, and that was from the 70s. See, that's like,
this is where I get all my news.
From
Ben Affleck movies?
No, there's this new game called Wordle. It's so freaking fun. And there's only one a day, and this guy like made it for his wife.
How does it play?
It's not an app either. You go to just Google Wordle. you'll see. It's a word game, but it's really fun. And you can only do one puzzle a day. Puzzle! And I also do crossword puzzles. And that's mindless too, by the way. I mean, it makes you feel smart. Like, oh, and you're thinking of words. You're, you know, analyzing things. But man, I used to be addicted to crossword puzzles and play for 3 hours a day. And that, and I wasn't accomplishing anything. I wasn't really...
Have you ever done? Have you ever filled out the Sunday one, isn't that the hard one?
No, I've gotten through I've done the Saturday. I've gotten Monday through Saturday, but I'm right now. I'm so you lose it, you know. But when I was doing 3 hours a day, I got to the Saturday and I felt accomplished. And then right now I can probably get through it Wednesday, but that would be iffy.
You would feel like you would only have a limited amount of words though, like that. Mm-hmm. Just because you're doing it enough.
There are so many words, dude.
So many. I'm so bad at those.
It's not about knowing words. It's about knowing how crossword puzzles can trick you. Like how it's knowing the crosswordies.
You know what I'm good at? Finding the word inside letters.
That is the dumbest. Yeah. Word searches.
Yeah.
Those are so. Those are.
Wonder if that's going to help you with.
Oh yeah, yeah. I think it causes it.
I don't understand when there are Nikki old women in, with word searches.
I play.
Nikki
I love
was
it.
In a crossword puzzle.
Yeah, I was in a crossword.
Oh, inside
the Glazer, the famous Glazer,
yeah,
comedy.
Comedian.
Oh, whoa.
Famous Glazer, Glazer of stand-up comedy.
I'm trying to think who else
it could have been. Alana, but it was S-E-R, not Z. Or John Glazer, but it was, you know, five letters. Glazer.
No, the K's matched up with something else.
Yeah,
so
they did.
That's how you know.
The other K? Okay, all right. About 44% of couples say sharing a bed made them question their relationship. Are you afraid of moving in with someone because you'd have to share a bed all the time?
No, I like going to sleep next to someone.
No matter who it is? Just anything?
Anyone.
Anything.
No, actually, Kirsten staying here was awesome, and I like sharing a bed with her. You know, I enjoy both, but I think that having a king-size bed would negate that. I think a queen-size bed is too small for two people. You're going to end up touching.
Way too small.
I mean, a king bed, literally, like, I've never had that much space, even in my own bed.
When you were in your queen bed, did you sleep in the middle or did you stay to the side?
Side.
I only use a twin-size bed chunk of my bed.
I like sleeping in a little bed by myself. Is that weird? Like, I really enjoy it.
Ugh, I can't stand a little bed.
Well, I like sleeping in a little coach seat in the back of a plane by myself. That's like my best sleep sometimes, too.
Yeah.
So I get it.
I can't stand a twin bed.
So one partner is troublesome.
Too small. Because it reminds you of the one that died.
When I go home, I have a freaking twin bed. That's what they got for me.
I think it's just you associate it with being home.
Yes, and I
and
hate
being
it
a kid
because I roll off. Like, I don't know what's happening. But in my queen bed with my boyfriend, I sleep in like the crack in between the wall and the bed.
That's because
I got nothing.
You're trying to roll off in there too, but the wall stops you. If those walls could talk.
Well, she grew up without walls.
Yeah.
She just grew up in a twin bed inside a Ford down at West County.
You just put her last name into what she...
That's how she got her name. Her mom looked around and said, Forrester.
So she got her last name?
Yeah.
They pick their last names out in the South.
Yeah, they pick it out by looking at things. That's Dave Tree. Jim Bush.
Jim Bush. You stare at a beer?
Larry Beer Can. was your daddy a beer can?
Wait, tell me about the
daddy was a beer can.
Tell me about sex in the king size bed, and like, is it less often because it's all the way across? Is there cuddling that happens in a king size bed? Like, is it great for a relationship? Do you recommend it? Do you have a big king size comforter?
We do have a big. We got all the big things. We got big. You know, kings have their own pillows. I learned that.
That seems stupid.
King pillows, they're
but
wider.
I get it. It has to cover the whole thing if you're making a bed and you want it to look nice.
Exactly, because it looks weird if it's three with one coming off the side.
Yeah.
So anyways, it makes cuddling a choice. So then, therefore, it's like more romantic or like it means more because you have to travel afoot.
Queen-size beds don't like make you cuddle, though.
They do not.
But
you're right. It does make
it a choice.
I'm
telling you, if you laid in the bed, like...
You have to buy, like, a ticket to get over it. It has to be intentional.
Yeah, you got
to
get a Europath.
Path.
Eurorail.
You got to get on this path train.
I see dead people. I don't know why. Okay, so, yeah.
And if you're in a fight, a quick king-size bed is great because it can create like you don't have to touch the person. And can your bed, will you feel the other person move?
No, not on this bed. Mm. It's unbelievable. Like you really, you're just in your own world. But I do think, yeah, I think it can cause you not to cuddle and cause you to like almost feel like, are we even dating? Because I didn't even touch you last night, like at all.
Yes.
Sex. I do think it probably does hinder, like, because you have to like instigate more. So maybe there's more pressure to meet. Like, meet up?
Yeah. You text her and was like, hey, you want to meet in the middle of the bed?
Yeah. It's like eating dinner on a long table.
Yeah, I'll meet you over there. Yeah.
Be like, you got to play telephone just to fuck your girlfriend. Yeah. Hey, will you tell my girlfriend I want to fuck her to the queen pillow?
The bed bug has to travel across and go, he wants to have sex with you.
That's what bed bugs are.
You need to talk like this.
I just give her a cup. I give her a cup with a long string. I'm like, hey, I want to go down on you. She's like, what? You want pudding?
It echoes.
There is less stress, though, if you have to get up in the middle of the night. So then you don't feel like you're going to wake them. That's another great thing.
Yeah.
And you could be on your phone and you can be literally 5 feet away from them and like. Also, social distancing. You don't give them COVID or herpes.
Yeah.
You know? That's no, but great. No, but like being on your phone, which I think causes a ton of stress for me. We've talked about this before, about if someone's sleeping, it's 2 a.m, you can't sleep. Mm-mm. What do you do? What do you do when you can't sleep? And it's
I go on my phone because their eyes are closed.
But you don't think the light is going to wake
up? I put it dim.
I put it dim.
Do you not put it dim?
I dim it.
Yeah, I put it dim and I put my headphones on if I need to listen to something. It's never an issue.
Really?
And I'm not swiping like on my phone. I'm not like shaking the bed. It's just like you would never be able to tell.
That's a good point.
I think you feel constantly guilty about being on your phone like you're doing something nefarious.
You just don't want to wake them.
But why would you wake them if you just get your phone and go like this?
I don't know. Also, watching TV, do you put the TV on? That's another stress.
Well, I don't have a TV in my bedroom. Oh, but
do you, Carla?
No, I cannot sleep with any noise. I have to have the white noise on, so that would totally bug me.
But if you wake up in the middle of the night, you're never stressed that you're going to wake up your partner. There's not. I feel.
Like I have to literally jump over him to go to the bathroom.
Why don't you pull your bed away from the wall so you can get up?
Does she wake up really easily? Is that the thing?
No. Well, not. Not really. She just has to wake up earlier than me, and I think that's another stressful thing.
Yeah. I never worry about people waking me up because I can get right back to sleep if I'm tired enough. And Chris, like, he is sleeps so heavy. And if he does wake up, he's just like, and he just like leans over and like puts his face out and we just like kiss and then he just goes back to sleep.
Really?
That's it's really cute. Yeah. He'll just like wake up and be like, and then we kiss and I'm just like, it's so cute.
That is cute.
So
that
sometimes I do kind of purposely wake him up.
Yeah. You're like, that's how I got him to say I love you the first time.
God, he's so cute when he's asleep and when he's like waking up, he's just like a little baby.
Oh,
I just love
cute.
Like a sleepy boy who's just like, oh, no, I am. And I'm a little, like, they're like kind of like puffy and they're like swollen. Yeah. Just, oh, baby. I love it.
Their hair is like just like a little bit disheveled and they're just
so vulnerable. Yeah. You're just like, oh, and they're kind of like, I don't know.
It's like you like when they're sick. It's the same kind
of thing. Yeah, they're vulnerable and they're just sweet. They're so sweet. They're like little babies. Okay, do you have another news story or do we got to go to break C? Oh, yeah, let's go to break and then let's come back with Why Do I Care? And I'll share my own headline. All right, we're back from break and we're going to do Why Do I Care? Why do I care? Well, I care because this is about me. My sister sent me this. A lot of people have asked about this as well. A lot of fans. Someone just sent into the show something about this. My sister caught it. I guess she's at some, I don't know where she was. But is this her house? Oh, yeah, it is her house. Okay, so this is on Bravo. On Watch What Happens Live, Carl Radke from Summer House was playing the game with Andy Cohen where it's like you tell a truth or a lie and then Andy has to guess whether it's a lie or a truth. And this is Carl's.
Or not, Carl was once hit on by Amy Schumer during her set at a Comedy Show fundraiser and she gave him her number after the show.
Okay, now Amy is a huge Bravo fan. then would he have told us this? I'm gonna say it's true. I haven't heard the story. I'm gonna say false. It's false. Okay, break this. Congratulations, Mickey Glazer.
He hits him on the head. He goes, "It's actually Mickey Glazer," and hits him on the head. Yeah, so he says that Amy Schumer once hit on me at a charity show and gave me her number. And then they all say false, and it was false. And he goes, "It was false. It was Nikki Glazer." And I was like, "No, I didn't. I met Carl at some show. You were there."
It was the show where they brought on an F-boy, right?
Yes, it was what's her name show, yes. And what's her name?
Mary. Beth Barone.
Beth Barone, yes. It was at her show, and they brought an F-boy. He was the F-boy of the show. And it was like, Fuckboy Revival or something is the name of it. And I did a stand-up set, and I saw him backstage. He was very handsome, very tall, and I had no idea who he was. It was the first night I met Hannah Berner, too. I had no idea who she was. And I'd never seen Summer House. And he was just, he seemed excited. He knew who I was. He seemed excited to meet me. He was, like, really smiley and nice and, like, focused on talking to me and like and like he was just in. I was just like, who is this handsome guy who was like seems to be into me? I was thrilled by it. And then I saw him be the fuck boy and I was kind of like but still was like, oh, he just seemed to like, I was like, I stand by it. He was charming.
Yeah, he's a handsome guy. He's got a great smile.
But then I wrote to Carl, and I go, I did not give you my number. I would never do that. I remember when I give people my number. And he wrote back, what did he write back to me? He goes, I said, you, Carl Radke. Okay. I said, I didn't give you my number. If I did, you asked for it. He said, LOL, I asked you to autograph the set list. And then I wrote on the set list my number. So I did. And that does seem like a move I would make.
Yeah, it's
so
a good move.
I didn't remember it. But yeah,
did
I
he call
by
you?
I think he texted me. That's why we have each other's numbers, I think. He never like asked me out or anything. But thank God. Because I soon realized he's, you know, he drank a lot. And I was at a point in my life where I didn't drink.
It's both true. Like, you did give him your number. But the circumstances are like he asked for your autograph.
And I wasn't hitting on him. He was the one that came up to me, and
yeah.
I'm flattered if someone thinks I was hitting on them. I'm usually terrible at that, but it was nice to get my name dropped on Bravo, even though it was me being desperate for Carl Radke, who's now dating Lindsay from Summer House. Which, good luck to them. That'll last until the, you know, three-fourths of the season.
Yeah.
Next season when they need a, you know,
story
plot
arc.
Point. Yeah.
When the house turns into a rehab.
But they seem really good for each other. Yeah, what did you say? You said autumn rehab house. Yeah,
can't wait for autumn rehab house where actually Kyle dates Carl.
They're going to run out of like,
I mean, they kicked Hannah off, RIP.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Hannah.
It was the best thing that ever happened to her in the long run. Honestly. Everything's meant to happen. All right. Well, it's Wednesday, so we're going to play a Wild Card Wednesday game. This is a game I invented, I think.
Oh.
It's the text game.
Oh.
Maybe I invented, I don't remember. Maybe someone asked me to sign a set list and I came up with it. I don't remember the exact origin. But it's a fun thing that you can do if you have an iPhone. I don't know if it's on Droid, but it's predictive.
Droid.
You use your predictive text, and Carlisle could not for the life of her figure out how to do it. But what you do is, so you pull up someone you would text. For me, it'll be Noah, okay?
Yeah.
And then you type in, hey, all right? And then there's three boxes of predictive text underneath that, right? And then you just start blindly pressing the three of them in any order you want.
It is fun. I mean,
this one is not good.
No?
No. Mine's not good. Hold on. And then you see what your phone thinks you talk like.
Yeah.
And mine is like, I played this so much the other night that it kind of got fucked up. So I just want to start over on this one. So I'm going to start with hey, and then I'm just going to blindly.
Yeah, this phone knows that I don't know a lot of words. Like, my phone. All right, so I just did it. It goes, hey, day. Thank goodness.
Who is this for?
This was going to be sent to you.
Well, just send it to me and I'll read it.
Okay.
And then Noah will have to read this one.
It means a lot, what I just read.
Okay, so this is Andrew's phone. And this is really fun to play with your friends because it sounds like a bot you.
Yeah.
Hey, Day, thank goodness. Thank you, sweet, for ping me to thank you for ping. Thank you, sweet buddy. I love you. Thank you, buddy. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for bringing me up. Thank goodness for me. Your heart thank me all.
I must say thanks a lot. You know?
He's a very grateful guy.
Yeah.
Okay, these are some of Carlisle's. Hey Day JJ, can I do not that to be able with my family to get my life done with the holidays, so I'm not getting ready for the next day, and I'm so grateful to be able to love and to do tonight what please. Yesterday was the day before the day of my family life, and my life is getting better now, but I'm getting back in the back of my family life now, getting in the worst day in life, and I can get it to do it now. And then I wrote back to her.
Why do I feel like that's Carlisle's memoir? Like, doesn't it sound like it?
It really captures an essence of you, and it changes for each person you would text. And then I wrote back to her, hey, I got back in about a week, and I can do it tomorrow if I get back in the back next day. And then I have a call. Thanks so much. Thank me. Thank love you. Thank you for your support for me. Thank you. So sweet. You please, please thank me. So grateful. I have a family. Merry Thanksgiving holidays. Love, love. Thank love for all my life. You have so grateful to. So grateful to be grateful to have my life with family, and family Christmas life is getting back to me. It's grateful to have life Christmas life.
I do feel like our phones say thank you a lot. They have grateful in there. I don't know if it's
and
if
they're
it's
recent.
As personal as I thought. Huh?
Well, they're recent because it's all about Christmas and Thanksgiving.
Noah,
and
will you read what I just wrote to you?
Okay, yes. Hey, babe, I just got off the drive through the door. So sorry, babe. Babe, I don't have time for tomorrow to drive back home. I can get a ride home, the house, and what? YL, drive back by then. I'll drive back home the house tomorrow. Thanks. Thank you for sending.
I mean, that is the gist of how I talk to Noah. It's kind of like if a bot.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely like, sometimes it's fun to actually pick out of the three, because then it's a little bit more.
I do that at the beginning, and then I go crazy. So I'm going to write dad to my dad. Dad. Dad said, is yes, I guess. Oh, no, it said babe to my dad. Fuck. Dad said, yes, I guess I think I don't want you to. LOL. I thank you so much, babe. I think you're doing it right now with me, and you have to have a
oh,
good
Lord.
Job, and I guess I think I can have you back to work with me, and you have then. It's so fun for some reason. Man, so can I ask a question real quick?
Yeah.
Is it racist?
Oh, gosh.
For someone to do an impression of anime cartoons? If they're a white person.
Yeah, like any anime?
Well, anime is generally, like, let's say Japanese anime, like doing an impression of what Japanese sounds like to an American, to an English speaking person, a white person.
Isn't there a whole festival for that called Comic-Con?
Okay, not dressing up like it, doing the voices of anime from someone who doesn't speak Japanese and kind of like, you know, freestyling Japanese.
I don't think so. However, the general public, for some reason,
I don't know why. I played this thing last night. My friend did, and it does an impression of anime, and it's so funny. And I can't share it with the world because Carlisle and Chris were like, "You'll get canceled because you." Now I can talk about it. That there's a video. It's like the fucking Apprentice tapes of Trump. Apparently, there's somewhere where he's not getting canceled because it's apparently. I might have a recording of my friend doing a perfect, hilarious impression of anime.
It's so funny.
It is unreal how good it is.
Yeah.
And I can never share it with anyone because I might get canceled.
I mean,
and I think, and the thing is, I said, if I don't share it because I'm like, Japanese people, I don't want, this can only be for my white friends. How racist is that? I want to share it with the world.
Well, here's the thing. I don't think Japanese people.
Anime
would
is
have
funny,
a problem
and they
with
don't
it.
Talk. Anime people do not. Talk differently. I'm not making fun of Japanese people. I'm making fun of. It's not even making fun of. It's just what it sounds like.
And if the anime was Italian, we could do that all day long. No one would care.
Right. Well, there's this guy that this is really fascinating, and it kind of brings me to what I was talking about. Man who does gibberish of different languages. Let me just pull this up because this is pretty awesome.
Like if someone did a Jewish cartoon, I wouldn't give a shit. Like. At all.
So this is a guy.
This is what languages sound like to.
So this is pretty good. And this is good for audio. So here we go. This is a guy that I saw on like, you know, Instagram or something.
This is what languages sound like to foreigners. What English sounds like to non-English speakers. Do you see the Gimbal Clarinder? There's a Terry Hall van.
Velox does decide the Nolder Gaar yaps here. And Lang. But is next your taste Denfor or Labster?
What Espanol sounds like to non-Spanish speakers. Bueno, hay la tos rojarril sellos la pumuldad. No, ya habían los centenos más rusículos por dar. El cuerpo gusano tiene lo que
hicieron. It's all gibberish.
Yeah.
What Arabic sounds like to non-Arabic speakers.
All gibberish.
What British people sound like to non-English speakers. Simple, I have a sort of difference. Yeah, I learned to Sandy Bridge though. Same folly as they type, didn't he? Well, done you've handful, but it's a kite satirely. Bite it up the turn of chorus. And the Perry. Begs be the discot on for a day, Goldsmith. Seppi did set them it up for the sonnet through Edinburgh. Oh, Laventry guide through Lopford and Nanterbury. What French sounds like to non-French speakers.
Ah, font pitié à la farnasse ludiquement. Oh là là. Vous souviez les temps paralytes, le pamphlet?
Voilà, dit un sat tricolage à tronesse.
Les billes de fricole, maison triste, du vent saternel.
What German sounds like to non-German speakers.
Trangtun vielichten sitte ich te beffend?
Nein.
Eine stollen schlutz, branke lagen beber elend.
Brit steinagen oben sprache.
Sieben fulz und sinnesbrau.
What Hindi sounds like to non-Hindi speakers.
This guy's voice is incredible.
He's amazing.
What Italian sounds like to non-Italian speakers.
Pecere con denollo, sale sandolino pizzato.
Mia borella, turnero braccio tantomini.
Mamma mia.
Passico fermine, sarissimo, pintorino, fa sedere, ti picciamo.
What Spain Spanish sounds like to non-Spanish people.
Si li joyas, tios, es lo que tu me brices.
Con pesa cintura que pieces.
Os lo ruego.
Se puede torpe.
I mean, it goes on and on. We still have a minute and 11.
Does he
do
Asian?
Yeah, here we go, here we go.
That's what...
Japanese sounds like to non-Japanese speakers.
Hotoro kotoremas, kiyano maikata.
Kagai no kirikote, irisatakawa isketo.
Pira kaitero, kadai sandere kadai ga.
Kirikomashi botsaimasu.
What Portuguese sounds like to non-Portuguese?
Okay. Now, Carlisle and Chris said that guy is Spanish, so he's allowed to do it. I just...
He's some kind of ethnicity.
Yeah, but none of that makes sense.
Why?
None of that makes sense.
I get it. I get it that white people have privilege and so we're not supposed to... But if you are sounding like... The way something sounds, when is it an impression and when is it a racial mocking?
Well, I guess when you're
I'm trying
trying
to be sensitive. If someone's offended, I would like to know, but I don't think Japanese people would be offended by someone doing a fake anime.
This is what we got to do. We have to, you read this all the time in comments. People go, well, look at three white people talking about what a Japanese person would feel. We just got to call our Japanese friend and say, hey, is this racist?
But then,
but it's
Japanese
also the
people
context.
Might say,
like the context of that video, he's just highlighting all the different linguistic things with
but
languages.
Okay, I get that. That's why it's not racist, and no one's calling that. Maybe one or two people might, but I didn't see any comments like that. And I read through the comments. I'm wondering if I were to play my white friend doing an impression of what it sounds like when she walks in and her boyfriend is watching anime and what she hears.
Yes.
And it's so funny, but I can't play it for people because. It would be racist.
I think it's only racist when we're like talking about it this much.
Well, that's the thing.
Like,
well,
I think if you just played it, I don't think.
I've changed my take on it. I think you should play
but
it.
But I think that, well, I don't want to because I don't want to get canceled.
Don't say who the friend is.
I could get canceled just by playing it because it's my audio that
also,
I
what
own.
If you just said she was Asian before we even did this?
Exactly.
You know?
I thought about doing that, but that's a lie and I don't lie.
No, I know. I'm
but
just saying
the
context of it. I think it becomes a problem.
It's about anime. It's not about...
Yeah.
It's about
the style of anime
yes.
more than it is about the actual Japanese language.
I'll play it for us and then we'll see.
It's also
then
how,
you can take it out, Noah.
How specific it is.
It's just too good.
Do you
good.
Know what I mean? Like if you're going like, hello.
Here we go.
That was great. That was not racist at all. Because it's specific.
I think at some point she does like a... Like she did like a African.
Yeah, well that was. Yeah.
I don't know what she was doing.
To that one tribe in the middle
Maybe
of Africa.
Maybe it was someone knocking on the door in that.
Yeah.
My thing is that it's specific. So like I have a joke where I make fun of one gay guy and I do his voice and I'm not like, hey. You know, like. It's
I
not,
do too. Yeah.
When you generalize it, then it starts becoming more racist because then you're putting everyone in the same box of the Asian. So if you're doing like, oh, I eat rice, you know, like, yes, that kind of shit, yes, that's racist. That's not racist to me. And I think, I would say if we called any Japanese, they would not think that's a specific thing.
It was just making fun of how in Japanese stuff that there's always like a little girl and like an old man, and they're, and then, yeah, the she's always making her voice, yes, go up this high. And I guess she could do it in English, but it just wouldn't be maybe as funny because to someone who doesn't speak Japanese, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
But I think it's just,
and it is a talent to years, be able to mock a language, like not mock a language, but do a language like that guy did, like do gibberish of a language that sounds real.
But it's years of,
and Conan
of
does
white people
fake Armenian
making fun of Asians, like with, and not seeing, yes, them as human, like the same way as, like, you know, like let's say, you know, even if it is specific, it might be a problem. Like if someone did blackface and then they're like, no, I just did Michael Jordan, like I'm doing Michael Jordan. I'm not doing all, but because of the history of it, it doesn't matter if you're just doing a one person. So it depends on the history of it too. Like we don't have a history of like.
Yes, I get that.
Also, like, you know, we dropped a bomb on Hiroshima. Like there's history of us like,
right,
actually killing Asian people. So like that's why. Like if we dropped a bomb on Italy and then 20 years later,
and there's Asian hate stuff going on constantly. Yes. And that's, I get that. Like that.
But that being said, I think they have a sense of humor and be able to laugh at that.
I wonder if,
like,
even,
I hate when we like think like, oh, they couldn't have a sense of humor about, like, I think that's fucked up too. It's like, right, oh, they couldn't handle the joke.
Because Asian people probably make fun of anime.
Yeah, they probably make fun of how you talk.
Well, they definitely make fun of how I talk. Everybody does.
Yeah, I can see an Asian person being like, oh, I grew up in the forest. Yeah. Look at me. I'm going to name myself.
So this is Conan talking fake Armenian.
To another Armenian person.
Yes. Oh, jeez.
But that changes the context too, because he's talking to an Armenian person. It's kind of, right, like with Curb Your Enthusiasm. Larry did a whole episode on him saying the Japanese, oh, yeah, word.
Final thought. That's what I kind of like about Curb, is that it addresses the thing that could get you canceled. But it's like, wait, can we ask why this would get me? Like he like goes into it. He runs, yeah, into the thing that everyone's like not talking about. I feel really dirty when I have a tape that I'm like playing for my white friends and I go, oh, I want to play this on my podcast. And they go, no, 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 you can't. That's just for us, yeah, whiteies. It's like, well, this feels like some kind of, that feels wrong, yeah, to have this thing that I'm not allowed to share. But I see what you're saying. If it were to put something out there that would justify people's blind hatred towards, yes, a sub, another, sub, not sub, but like another people, then yeah, like it wouldn't be good. But I don't think that's what that was doing. It was just like,
no,
it just sounded like the thing.
Yeah, it was not that. Yeah, that is so
and
far
someone could
from
say, but it was just gibberish and you were just making fun of, you were doing a fake eight.
Okay, what about,
but what
this
was that guy doing?
What about a white person that grows up in Japan and has and speaks Japanese, like there's,
what do you mean?
He'll have a Japanese accent, and he's
no,
a white person.
No, but he's
person
not doing gibberish Japanese, which is like kind of making it seem like it's just this goofy sounding language. Like I think that Japanese people, if some people do mock Japanese,
yes,
and do the voice like, oh, all it always sounds like, you know, you've heard of certain languages, it always sounds like they're screaming. I'm not saying that about Japanese, but like certain languages, you know, it always, why are they always screaming or whatever? And it's like, because that's just what it sounds like to us, because I speak one, I'm realizing that it's me being ignorant because I don't know this language. So are you just, I don't like the idea of never addressing something because it's going to possibly offend someone. It's better to be like, hey, this is a thing I've noticed. Can we talk about it? And
yes,
I just don't like this world of like, oh, I can only say this in a safe space because I otherwise. Then that to me is racist if you're hiding,
yeah, then
things.
Then the safe space is somehow racist.
Because you know there are people that say the N-word in private.
Yeah.
And then they are outside that world. They never say it. Does that make it right? Because you should never say it ever. And if you
or you say it everywhere,
or but, yeah, or just be honest with yourself, and then we can address it. Because if you take the things you do out in private out in public, that's where people can correct it and be like, "Here's why that's offensive." So I guess that's kind of what I'm asking: is explain to me why that is offensive, and I can see why it could be.
Yeah, I just think like with Curb and how he does it in a way though that like. It's almost like a cheat code to then have laughter from racism or anti-Semitism with having the guise of being like, oh, no, I'm joking about it. But he almost buffers it in a way that makes it safer for him to make that joke, which is fine. And I think it makes it more palatable and able to have a discussion rather than, dude, 90%, most people could just handle the joke without it having to be like spoon-fed, like politely. You know what I mean?
I just don't like living in a world where we have to act like we're all the same. Like, it's my joke about, like, when you see a dog with wheels for legs, you can be like, oh my God, what happened to it? But if you see a person with a wheelchair, in a wheelchair, you have to be like, I don't see it.
Yeah.
Right.
Nothing's different about you. It's like, yes, there is. That doesn't mean you're a bad person. You speak Japanese and I don't understand what it sounds like, but I don't think less of you because of that. But if there's a connotation that they are taking from that, or dumber people take from our talk about it, like, oh, that makes them less than, then that's a problem if I'm like instigating that. But from where I'm coming from, I don't think I'm better or less than anyone ever because of, but black people have a different skin tone than me. For me to not acknowledge that their skin is darker and to act like, no, we're all the same color, I don't see color, that is to me stupid. But that's me talking as a white person where the color of my skin doesn't affect me from, you know, in my day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. So obviously I realize that I'm talking from a, you know, an ignorant perspective, but I don't think the solution is acting like things aren't there.
Mm-hmm.
Or that some things don't sound different or funny to me because they're different. And I think it is hilarious to hear what, like, white people say, or, you know, not white people, but, like, English-speaking, you know, or... Yeah, like what English-speaking people sound to people who don't speak English. I think it's funny.
I think it's growing up.
Because we sound ridiculous.
I think it depends to what you said. It's like, how do you grow up? How many actual like black people have you been around? How many Asian people have you actually been around? If you're just kind of going off generalization.
But I haven't been around that many Japanese people. So am I not allowed to have an opinion of someone who's, as someone who's not been around the Japanese culture in a real way, I'm not allowed to say that... Based on my lack of experience around Japanese culture, this is what it sounds like to me. Isn't that okay to say?
Yeah, it should be. Yeah, I think so. I'm just saying that that's...
Because I'm acknowledging I don't know what I'm talking about. So as someone who doesn't know what they're talking about, this is what it sounds like to me. That doesn't mean I think I'm better than anyone.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. It's like, just because you don't... I can't help that I haven't... I mean, I guess I can help it. I could expose myself to more, and I'll get on that. But then, okay, if I'm spending time around Japanese culture, I'm not spending time around Chinese culture. And so now I can't comment on Chinese culture because I haven't spent a lot of time around them. Like, you can have no opinion about something that you haven't experienced their experience. But what if you acknowledge that you have it, and mm-hmm. you're coming at it as a dumb person?
Yeah.
Then can't you comment on things as a dumb person?
I think you can. I'm just saying that these are the common arguments that, like... you know,
and I'm not saying I do how get it though.
Like, I do get, like, I grew up, like, I didn't know that many Asian people. I remember being in New York and working at a place, and this Asian guy came up and he had either a Southern accent or like a New York accent. And I was just like, this is like, because, you know, sometimes if it's just first generation, they actually almost, they sound similar to their parents, or they just don't have an accent at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, wow, this is new. And like, that just shows me how, like,
yeah, because you were dumb who thought that every Asian person should sound the same because you didn't have that much exposure to
that's
it.
That's what I'm
yeah,
saying. Back home. I know so that's
you
dumb.
Can admit, but you can admit that you're dumb.
Agreed.
And then
or
you can
that I haven't
it.
Experienced it.
But some would say you don't have a right to say anything because you're dumb. And it's like, well, that's stupid because...
Well, I don't know if it's so much dumb. It's just not being exposed.
Well, yeah, dumb. Like ignorant
to
this thing. Whatever you want to call
but
it.
But I am but dumb. Like, but I get what you're saying. All I'm saying, though, is like, let's say the problem is that... Take that person that's never heard a New York accent or like seen Asian people outside of like as a group, like, you know, some guy in Nebraska who then he talked, oh, they talk like ching chong ching, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy. And that's the
problem.
Yeah, because
that guy's not saying, as someone who doesn't know anything, it all sounds like that
to
me.
But then if you play the anime,
he's saying they all sound
like that guy in And now we're also saying a guy also, in Nebraska. That's if, another thing.
If
that,
he hears that,
how many
in a
Nebraskans
vacuum,
have I hung out with?
It might be racist, but if he hears it cloaked within all of this not bullshit, but like, you know, the way we're examining it, maybe he will open his eyes to the fact that, oh, he's dumb. So, like,
yeah,
if that is just a clip that's in a vacuum that's like, this is what anime sounds like, maybe it could help him hate people that are different than him more. But I just don't think that the solution is not ever
to talk about it.
Talking about it. Because languages that aren't your own sound funny.
Sure.
When they aren't your own. They just do, whether it's English, whether
PTSD,
it's
PTSD. PTSD. It's hilarious.
That's racist. And I we're canceled.
Towards what? People that have been in accidents? No. I don't know many. But yes, no, I think what happens, though, it's like when jokes, like edgy jokes or whatever, where it's like, no, they know I'm joking. But then it just, to the actual racist person, it just solidifies their point and that, oh, this comic
gives
agrees
fuel
with
to
me.
The fire.
They don't understand the nuance.
Well, that's why you have
it.
To couch it with trying to have an intellectual discussion about the meaning of these things and where it actually comes from. I don't know.
And if you're an Asian listener, write into us.
I'm not
and
someone who's anti-woke culture. You know, I'll apologize for this if it offends someone. I'm saying this because I would like people to inform me of whether or not it is wrong to have had this discussion, played this. If you couch your opinion about another culture that you have myopically because you acknowledge that you don't know what you're talking about and you see a stereotype and you want to acknowledge like, hey, it's come to my conclusion that most of the people that I see do this thing, and you couch it with, but I don't know what I'm talking about because I've never been to this country and I've never really been. Are you allowed to say that?
I don't know. It's like
with
saying,
the caveat
like,
of saying,
I don't know
what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I don't mean to be mean. I don't mean to be racist, but.
No, but that, I'm asking.
I know. I'm just saying that's what happens.
Why do you have
a
southern accent when you say that?
Sometimes stereotypes are correct.
I don't know, for sure.
Sometimes white people don't know how to dance. You know what I mean? Like sometimes stereotypes are right.
Of course. That's why stereotypes happen.
But I understand that you can make stereotypes about white people because white people haven't been persecuted in the way that other cultures have. So it's different to be
But I don't think that helps your point. Like when people do that and then they're like, well, you can't be racist towards white people, but then they do the same thing. They're like, well, we're allowed to do that towards white people. That doesn't help your point to me.
What do you mean?
Like people will go, you know, they'll make, oh my gosh, I went and bought some stuff from the Gap, and they're like making fun of how white people talk.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we're allowed to do that because it's not racist towards white people. But you're just,
said that to me that because you said that because in the past, Americans have, we dropped the bomb. Targeted, they have been, victimized by us in the past. Whereas white people, I'm saying we don't come with that context underneath
I get that, but I don't think it helps your argument as someone that's a minority or whatever to then make fun of white people and be like, well, we get to do it. You don't get to do it, because then that's going to make the white person want to do it either more, or I don't think that helps your point. Mm.
As a white person, of course you feel that way.
Well, I'm Jewish.
There you go. You always got that. Okay, we have to go.
That's the reason why my family converted.
I'm so glad we figured everything out today. And thank you for being here, Carlisle. Tomorrow we're going to have a special All-Fanthrax episode to close us out for the week. Don't be cut and jack of all trades.
Mine.